selling a motorcycle. So if anybody wants one, there you go. I thought we could also just pray too here for a moment for those who are still trying to get out of Afghanistan and just in general for that whole situation there. So let's pray. Lord, we do pray for Cheryl. She continue to recover. Thank you, Lord, for protecting her. Lord, things could have been much worse, and we are grateful for that. And she is grateful for that and knows that you were with her and protected her. And Lord, I ask that you would help her recover quickly. And Lord, we pray for all that's going on. We live in a crazy world, Lord, and so much danger. We pray for those who are trying to get out of Afghanistan, those trying to come home here, the final ones that are trying to get home. I pray, Lord, we pray that you would bring them home safely. We also ask, Lord, that in that country, Lord, that you would protect the so many who are in danger, who live there and who will be living there. Lord, we ask peace would reign, that the God of peace would bring peace into that situation. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts now. Thank you for our time of worship to adore you and to give praise and glory to you, for you are worthy. In your name we pray. Amen. Going to continue on in Ephesians. And verse 3 of chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." There are two aspects. We're going to be looking at spiritual blessings or gifts. And there are two aspects of these blessings. The first that it tells us here is that they are spiritual, or meaning they are from the Holy Spirit. So it is from the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we experience these blessings. We will look at that when we get to chapter 5 and how that all works out. The second aspect of these spiritual blessings that we're going to focus on today is that these blessings are, all of these blessings are found in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we have access to every one of these spiritual blessings. Now, when we hear the word that we are in Christ, that can sound a little, I don't know, maybe a little mystical, and how, what does that really mean? And Paul calls this a mystery. He uses the word mystery 6 times. It's most of the words used in anywhere in the Bible is in the book of Ephesians. And he talks about the mystery of God, all these mysteries that we are going to be looking at. And when we think of a biblical mystery, what's happening, it has something in common with like a mystery movie, but it has another thing in that is not in common with a mystery movie. And you know, if you're watching like a mystery show, we Cindy and I don't really watch those, but we got into a couple of them, and you know, the way they work is, you know, there's something done, you know, usually it's a murder, and they're trying to find out who did it. And, of course, they lead you down every wrong direction, because the point of it is not to find out until the end. And you know, at the very end that you find out, and you're always disappointed, or you thought, oh, yeah, I figured that one out. And so in one sense, this biblical mystery is like that, in that when it's talking about the mystery of Christ throughout the Old Testament, people just didn't understand who the Messiah was going to be. And to be honest, they probably could not understand who the Messiah was going to be. We look and say, well, why didn't they understand that? Well, they didn't have the Gospels. To them, it was a mystery. And what Paul's saying is that mystery of who the Messiah is and what the Messiah would do has now been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the first aspect of it. So that's, in one sense, like a mystery show or book. The second aspect of it is that sometimes when we think of a mystery, we think of something that is unknowable. But a biblical mystery, or at least unknowable until the very end of the show. But a biblical mystery is different. And Richard Rohr has a little quote. He says this. He says, a biblical mystery is not something we cannot know. Rather, it is something we can know endlessly or infinitely. And what he means by that is this biblical mystery, this being in Christ, is something that we can know, but we only know it at a certain level, and that level, our knowledge and understanding of that will just continually grow, as if the mystery is being just continually revealed in all new and varying ways. And what happens with this is, as we understand that mystery, as we understand what it means, as our understanding of what it means to be in Christ grows and expands, at that level, to that degree, we will experience the blessings that come by being in Christ. So God wants to open up our minds to these blessings so that we can partake in them. I think sometimes there's so many blessings mentioned. He says it's every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places that we aren't participating in them because we don't even understand that they have been made available to us. On the next slide, Tim Mackey puts a list of the blessings that are found just in this one sentence. And he says this, and he just has them here. The first one is election, that God's chosen us in verse 4. We looked at that last week. The second one is adoption as God's children, verse 5. The next one is the gift of grace. The next one is redemption. And then there's forgiveness of sins. Both redemption and forgiveness are found in verse 7. There's knowledge of God's secret purpose in verse 9. Hope of a future inheritance in verses 11 through 12. And the presence of God's Spirit in verses 13 and 14. Now, what you'll notice as you read through that, through these, is that these blessings are connected with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These verses are theologically packed, but they are also relationally significant in that these blessings that we will begin looking at today are the foundation, form the foundation for our love relationship with God. And it is through these blessings that our love relationship with God grows. Tim Gombas, in that book I showed you, said it this way. He speaks of this way. He says, the people, this being in Christ, the people of God, and this on the next slide there, the people of God are not merely loved by God or saved by God. We are brought into God. God has done something outrageous to us, bringing us into Christ so that we now have a completely new location on the cosmic map. We have been brought into God. And what Paul's going to do is he's going to explain that as he goes through the next verses in this passage, what it means to be brought into God, and then what it means to have a new location on the cosmic map. It's beyond our comprehension in some ways. That's what's so outrageous about it. But once we begin to understand it, it transforms everything. So, the first blessing in verse 4, the next slide. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Blessing number 1, we are chosen. Election, last week. Second one he mentions here, that we would be holy and blameless before him. The second blessing that we receive is that we have been made holy. Now, when it says holy, we are holy and blameless only in Christ. Holiness is something we receive, not something we receive. we achieve. It is something we must receive, not something we achieve. Now, that's counterintuitive. We want to achieve holiness. We can never achieve holiness from our effort. You can never become holy from your effort. And as long as we try to be holy from our effort, we will fail to receive it. See, God says you are holy because you are in Christ. There's nothing to achieve because Jesus has achieved it. What we need to learn how to do is live out what has already been achieved for us in Christ. But what we do is, this is again, this is in that already not yet kind of a thing. We are already holy, but we are not yet holy. And anyone who looks at their own life will daily say, I am not yet holy. Because I just did a not holy thing. And so what do we do when that happens? Well, we think, I better be holy. And so we start putting great effort into being holy, rather than living out what we already are. And you might say, oh, that's the same thing. It's just kind of playing with words. But the reason that's not the same thing, it's just because of two words. Try looking at ourselves and saying, well, first of all, understanding that we have already received God's holiness, and then living that holiness out is what is called faith. That is faith. Looking at ourselves and seeing that we are not holy and then trying to become holy, that is called works. And we need to determine, do we live by faith or do we continue to live by works? Now, living out our holiness takes a lot of work. But as that may seem like, oh, you're just, you know, slicing and dicing words, it's not at all. It's the whole New Testament. It's all of Paul's writing. It is so different, those two things. And that's a mystery that we will continue to learn how to apply to our own lives. And then he goes on and he says, so it's holy and blameless before him. Then it's a period there. And we said at the very beginning, there are no periods in the Greek language in this here. This is all one sentence starting in verse 3 and going to verse 13. No periods. These guys chose to put one here, and a lot of the Bibles, you know, do that. And then it says, in love, after the period. He predestined us as adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. So there is a big argument in the scholarly word of where the in love goes. Is it we are holy and blameless in him, through before him in love, period, even though there's no periods there. So does it go back that way? Or is it in love, he predestined us? Well, if you read this one, you think, oh, in love, he predestines. And that answer's never going to be solved. We don't simply have a way of knowing for sure. My feeling is probably doesn't matter. Because there's something more important than figuring that out. And that's in the next line, verse 6. To the praise of his glory, of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. So here's what's happening. in God's love, he did whatever he did here. Chose us, predestined us, whatever. Or both. But then he did that in the one the Father loves, the beloved, the Messiah Jesus. And what he did was he adopted us as sons in his love and through the beloved. Adoption in their world, in Paul's world, pretty much happened this way. It was a citizen, a Roman citizen, a person of high status and wealth, would adopt a slave, maybe a slave or servant, they use, intermix those words a little bit, a person of much, the lowest status in their world, because they become close to them. They've been working and serving them. And then when that happened, it completely changed the identity of that person. It completely changed their status and their position in the world. They went from a slave to a citizen. They went from the lowest status to a person of high status. And what God did when he adopted us as a son, he completely changed our identity, our position, our status. That's where Gomez gets this quote of our location in the cosmic world has been changed because we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of God. Everything, when we come to faith in Christ, changes in our identity, in our position, in our status. And yet, it's a already not yet kind of thing. Last week, we talked about election and predestination, and I'm convinced I've confused things all the more. At least somebody told me that afterwards, so just, you know, and I accepted that. Let me give a simple thing here from this that probably will confuse it all the more. Before the creation, the Father, here's what this verse I think is saying. Before the creation, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in an eternal love relationship. What was God doing before he created everything? Living in this eternal love relationship, a Trinitarian community of love. Constant giving and sharing of love. An endless circle of giving and sharing in love. God is love. That's who he is. That's what he does. From eternity past, God planned or purposed to bring this human creature thing into that eternal love relationship. That we could say is what he chose and predestined, was to do that. God, at some point, God understood that that eternal plan could only ultimately happen by God becoming human in the person of the Messiah, Jesus. And being put to death on the cross, being raised from the dead, and being seated at the right hand of the Father, now we have been brought into the Messiah Jesus, into Christ, and Christ just means Messiah, into Christ. Christ has been raised, and it says he's seated at the right hand of the Father, on the throne, right hand of the Father. And guess where we are? We are sitting on that same throne in Christ, with Christ. And now we have been incorporated in to this relationship forever. And it's amazing, you think about it, that we, and the Bible talks about, Paul talks about how we will judge angels. Our status has gone to where we are a part of the Trinitarian community. I'm not saying we're God, but for some reason he has incorporated somehow us humans in a special way into that relationship. And we will always be in that relationship. And I think that's what predestination is all about, that little story. I think that's the most important story in the Bible because it is the gospel. That is what the gospel is. Verse 7, I believe on the next slide. The next blessing. In him we have redemption through his blood. For Paul, his background, when he sees, when he uses the word redemption, what he is thinking is the Old Testament, that God, Bible tells, the Old Testament tells, God redeemed Israel from slavery and oppression in Egypt. That is their narrative. That is their meta-narrative. That is what consumes their identity, that God is the one who redeemed Israel from oppression and from slavery in Egypt. What Paul does is he takes that story and turns it into a metaphor for us, that we have been redeemed from slavery, but we've been redeemed from the slavery to sin, to death, and to the dark powers, the spiritual powers of evil. We have been redeemed. We were enslaved to them. Now we are redeemed, released from that slavery, bought out of that slavery. Now, this is an already not yet experience of redemption. So let's take, we've been redeemed from slavery to sin. All of us, and I know in our last men's group, we were talking about this, how when some were sharing how when they came to Christ, just their eyes were opened. And you know, when all of us probably could say that we had an experience when we came to faith in Jesus, that we gained victory over some area or areas of sin in our life almost instantaneously. You know, maybe it was our language was just, oh, it's like, wow, our language just changed overnight. And that is the already experience of redemption. But there's the not yet experience of redemption. All of us still, after 20, 40, 50 years, struggle some of the same areas we've struggled with all our lives. We've been freed from slavery to those, but we still struggle with them. So we have an already not yet experience of that. And then we've been redeemed from death. And the power of death, from slavery to death. I was at a funeral for Katie Burnell yesterday, memorial service. And it was an incredible time of understanding how death, the victory of death has been destroyed. And that God has won the victory over death. And how this new creation, how Katie entered into this new creation, whole, complete. And then we've been redeemed from the powers of evil, from the spiritual forces. If we go to the next slide in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Explains this to us. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were dead, your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You were dead. You were enslaved to this evil and the prince of the power of the air. These evil spirits, spiritual evil, working throughout the entire world. We've been redeemed from them. Again, it's an already, not yet. The powers of darkness are always what, and it talks about that, it's kind of like saying it this way, it's just in the air. We have that phrase. Spiritual evil, it's in the air. It's everywhere. It's influencing everything. It's in the air. And what they are doing is they are orienting cultures, ideologies, philosophies, perspectives, and systems of this world to turn people away from God, towards idols, and against one another. Is that not the reality of our world? People are getting turned away from God, towards idols, and against one another. The powers of darkness are involved in all oppression, injustice, exploitation, ethnic and racial tension and division, whether it is of human rights, economics, political, issues of justice, security, psychological. They are engaged in all of it. And we have been redeemed from that. It is already, but it is not yet. Let me give you an example. Hopefully this will help. The Bible is filled with passages that condemn and pass judgment on economic exploitation and injustice. Go through your Old Testament and it's just over and over and over again. And it's the nations of the world exploiting an injustice economically. And it's Israel doing the very same thing. Every economic system throughout human history has had issues with exploitation and injustice. Two reasons. First, humans are involved in all of those economic systems, and with humans comes greed and selfishness. And so you will have exploitation and injustice. The second reason is the one we don't think about enough, and it's as big as the first. The prince of the power of the air is engaged in every economic system. And he is orienting all of them towards exploitation and injustice for the purpose of turning people away from God to idols and against others. In Ephesus, those that God, small g, was called Artemis. In Canaan, in the Old Testament, that god, small g, was called Baal. In our world, that god is called consumerism, materialism. And its foundation is greed. But we've been redeemed from the powers of those. And, you know, when we say that, we think, oh, yeah, that's totally different. You know, consumerism, yeah, it's kind of a god, but it's not like we're offering sacrifices at a temple. Oh, yes, we are. It wasn't like they're thinking, when they went into the temple and saw this statue, they weren't thinking, oh, that's a god, ding, ding, ding. it was just simply God's representative. They understood there was a spiritual being behind that statue. They got it better than we got it. They're just on the wrong end of it. There are spiritual beings behind these systems creating greed and consumerism and materialism. But we've been transferred out of that world into a kingdom of God. Now the question is, how do we live in all of this, not read, already and not yet, in this world? And so, like, and just take this, consumerism. There is a difference between consuming and consumerism. God said that he's given us all things to enjoy. There is actually a way of consuming that is worship of God. The problem is it is so subtle. That even good Christians who are generous and practice biblical stewardship can slip into the idolatry of consumerism and materialism without ever knowing it, because it is in the air. We swim in it. It's easy for us to, you know, to say, oh yeah, this is the not yet of my sin. We all know that. We have our already's and our not yet's. But it's hard for us to see the not yet's of our idolatries. Those are the difficult things. And this, we can go on, but there's many other, that's all I will give you today. We'll look at one last thing in verse 7 again. And you may have to go back to Ephesians 1:7. The final blessing I just want to briefly look at this morning says, the forgiveness of our trespasses. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. We have been forgiven. God's blessing to us, our sins, all of them, forgiven. Our idolatries, forgiven. Because of the cross, the blood of Jesus, we've been cleansed. John says we are continually cleansed in his letter by the blood of Christ. It cleanses us from all sin, every one of them, past, present, and future. And it's a constant cleansing flow on our bodies, our souls, and our spirits. And that has already happened. It's something we have and possess and have received. And yet, how many of us experience guilt, shame, and regret? So it's not yet fully experienced in any of us. And again, it's going back to seeing, no, what we need to learn how to do is, no, this is who I really am, a forgiven person, not a person of shame, not a person of guilt. I am constantly, well, but I just did it again. But you're constantly forgiven, constantly cleansed. That is your identity. That's my identity. It's because you've been adopted as a son and you've been welcomed into this love, eternal love relationship with him. He continually cleanses us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you and that we have received these blessings from you freely in the Beloved because you love us. Lord, open up our minds to understanding the reality of these things you've given us. Practically, that we might live knowing that they are true, even when they don't feel true. And maybe they don't match our experience. They are still true. Thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing together one last song.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. When the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you. To you, when I cannot feel your hand in mine, let faith arise to you, God of mercy and love. I will praise you, Lord. Oh, you shine with glory, Lord of light. I feel alive with you. In your presence now, I come alive. I am alive with you. There is strength when I say.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.